goaltending specific from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Kevin Woodley joins us as always. Woodley, how are you, my man?
I'm good. Can I borrow to start the house building analogy and get you caught up a little bit on, because I know the question is coming, what's going on with the gear world?
Yeah.
Because the analogy I was given this week that is, I think, perfect, is the NHL asked the equipment companies to make the changes without telling them what changes they wanted. So I had somebody from that side of the world basically tell me it would be like five architects and home builders all showing up to a job site, each bringing their own sort of individual tools and ideas about how to get the job done and how to build a house, being asked to build a house, but having not a single blueprint to build it by. And that is basically how we got to where we are, which is, as we've said before, no chest and arms, and now a mad scramble to get the pants ready, not for training camp, which starts in a week, and some companies haven't built a single pair of the new pants, but for the start of the season, as that now seems to be an okay benchmark for the league. Give it to them just in time to start the season. To hell with letting them get ready and used to it during training camp.
So basically, to summarize, Kevin, the NHL said they wanted to make the changes, but they didn't give the manufacturers the guidelines.
Yeah, exactly. And they still don't have firm guidelines as a result. And I think Colin Campbell kind of alluded to this in an article last week, which was good on him, and the first time I've kind of heard it, an admission that, you know, maybe we needed to tell them a little more what to do. Because these guys, listen, these companies have built, in some cases, this gear for 30 years. You tell them what you need, they will build it. The problem was they just told them they wanted smaller. So they built it, and it wasn't small enough. So they built smaller, and then it was too small, according to the players. There was never anything put in front of them. And so these companies are now left with prototypes, and hey, we're just talking a couple pieces of gear, but they're useless. They're obsolete. You can't sell them at retail. There's nothing. They spent a lot of time to build something that had no clear direction, definitive direction from above, and then was deemed not good enough, and the not just the product itself, but the effort that went into constructing it. And again, a chest and arm has hundreds of different pieces that all come together to try and cover a goaltender and prevent the puck from getting through any gaps. And there's a fair amount of work that went into it. And some companies put more into it than others. And I guess you could argue at the end of the day that given what they pay to be light, you know, to have their logos on gear at the NHL, they probably deserved a little more than that.
Oh, I would definitely think so. Now, it is early. It's kind of like preseason hockey. The difference is it's the best players in the league playing preseason hockey at the World Cup pre-tournament games. And to no one's surprise, Carey Price looked a little rusty, let in a few goals that usually you wouldn't expect from Carey Price. Having watched some games, Kevin, and, you know, numbers are higher. I think the games are a little bit looser, which to me is way better because I think goalies focusing on their numbers is a joke. I don't care if a goalie's goals against average. If the best goalie in the league has a goals against of 2.5 instead of 2.3, no one cares. He's still the best.
Yeah, no, and which to me, I found it ironic to see, and again, I didn't read the story, but just there was a Team North America had a tweet with a quote from Todd McClellan about, you know, how they had, talking in general about how Team North America, with all this talent and firepower, had to find a better balance with taking care of its own end. And I believe the quote that was in the tweet was, because eventually we're going to have to win a game 2-1. And I got to admit, even as the goalie guy, a little part of me said, why? If you can score five, why? If you have that ability, if you have that talent and that skill base, why do you have to win a game 2-1? Why do you have to change their mentality and approach to try to win a game 2-1? So I'm kind of with you on this one. I'm not surprised the goalies are struggling. I think the systems have been a little loose at times. And it is the best shooters in the world. If you give them time and space, they're going to find spots. Was a little surprised and not at Price. He was 100% physically. I said that when we saw him in August, and he said the same thing, and there was no question in his movements. There were no sign of strain or limitations based on the knee injury. But there were some inefficiencies. in his movement patterns. As I understand it in practice, or I saw a lot of quotes and heard a lot of things from the coaches, but I looked like the old Carey Price. But I saw a guy who had some delays in his movement, had some differences in his setup from when he won the trophies 2 years ago and when he was off to the sizzling start last year. And I wondered if they might catch up to him. And they did. And that doesn't mean that he's not going to make those adjustments and find that timing and beat those passes better when he gets another exhibition game. But I think if he doesn't, you may have some question marks for Canada about if he's not there yet, how much time do we give him? Do we give him that first start and assume he's going to get there, you know, sooner rather than later because he is head and shoulders above everyone else? Or do you look at some of those delays and the fact he's not looking comfortable on his post, that his recovery pushes were flat, lacked rotation, that he was late getting set and into position and say, geez, I'm not sure this is going to happen by Saturday night. At least they have a goalie coach there to kind of, and one who knows his game well, to kind of evaluate things both in practice and during a game. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, depending on how the results go of the final pre-tournament game, what that decision is like and whether it is based strictly on, hey, he's Carey and he's going to get there, or really looking at how he's moving both around his crease and especially to me in and out of the posts, an area where he normally excels. That's as uncomfortable as I've seen him with his posts. And take a look at that sort of micro-analyze his game and say, hey, it's not there yet. And if it's not there in practice, there's no reason to assume it's going to suddenly appear during a game, and maybe we have to go another way. Just movement was not as sharp. He was behind on plays. Like I said, in and out of the post looked nothing like the Carey Price that we know from those, not just from the good years, but even before he was winning all the trophies. That's always been an area that he excels at, that he works hard at. But he probably hasn't had a chance to work at it because it's not what he focuses on in the summer. And the last one is just positioning. I mean, to me, it was late in second period of his start. Pavelski down sort of on a power play, I believe, just inside the left circle. And when Price set up for that shot, he was a good foot and a half off his angle. And Pavelski saw it. He saw all the room on the far side blocker. And Carey made a late adjustment and made a heck of a blocker save. But to me, the fact he was ever that far off his angle and out of position was just alarming. We haven't seen that out of him. I don't know if I can ever remember seeing him miss an angle that badly. And just a sign that, hey, this is going to take some time for him especially.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Now, Kevin, a few other housekeeping notes. I'm guessing you know the answer to this. I was watching the World Cup. The world team, and I noticed Grice's gear, he's got those big black stripes of tape all over it, and then a lot of the guys who wear Vaughn have some matching color tape. Is this just a sponsor issue?
It's a licensing issue, Jason. You're right. Corey Schneider's flag pads, as good as they look, when the first pictures previewed of them, there was the word Vaughn down the outer roll, down the side of each pad, and Jonathan Quick as well with his pads, pretty much anyone in Vaughn gear. You'll notice that the logos have gone missing as the World Cup of Hockey has gotten underway here. A few guys had it on for games in Europe, but those will be covered up when they get here. And I guess the Grice one really jumped out because they didn't have matching sort of, he had the vintage, the retro vintage colors on his pads, and nobody had retro vintage matching tape to go over it, so it jumped out. Basically, the World Cup exists outside of NHL licensing agreements, much like the IIHF World Championships does. So if a company wants its logos on the equipment, they usually have to pay a licensing fee. Well, in the case of the World Cup, they didn't ask for a licensing fee. But in lieu of a licensing fee, they asked for the equipment to be donated. So rather than the teams pay for the gear, they wanted the equipment companies to donate it to them. And part of the problem is, Not just for the duration of the tournament, but completely and fully donated. That may not sound like much to most people. Hey, give us the gear and your logos on TV for the next 3 weeks at the mm-hmm. pretty much the only game in town when it comes to hockey. But on a cost basis for a company like Vaughn, when you looked at the amount of most goalies are going to take one set of pads, two sets of gloves, two blockers, sticks, a chest and arm, pants, and a mask. And you add up all the guys that Vaughn had in, and you consider that, hey, for third stringers they're going to have to outfit, you're not even going to see them in a game or even on the bench. And they were looking at a cost in terms of just their cost, $25,000 in their mind. Cost in terms of what they would normally invoice for that, probably running closer to 50 or 60. And again, this is masks too. Don't forget, they're custom-made, hand-laid, handcrafted masks, custom-fit to each goalie's face. Plus, they wanted the painters to donate their time. Other companies said yes, Von Bock. They just decided that the limited exposure in their mind of this tournament, especially on the other side of the border, versus the cost they were being asked to bear, and you know, it doesn't really have anything to do with all the other gear stuff we started this conversation about, but I don't think you can underestimate, you know, the amount of cost and research that went and time and effort that went into building other things for the NHL, and the fact that they're a company that pays for pads and blocker and glove, sticks, masks. They pay the NHL licensing fee, which per item is $100,000 a year. So to not have that included, it was just a cost they weren't willing to bear. And so, you know, some companies agreed to donate it, and they were one that didn't. So the result is their logos have been covered up and won't be on display at the World Cup. And it's an interesting choice at a time when the industry has really been hard hit. We've had a bankruptcy in the States of a major retailer that left a lot of these companies.
Who's that?
Total Hockey and Total Goalie in the United States. They were purchased out of bankruptcy by Pure Hockey and Pure Goalie in the United States, but there were a lot of unsecured creditors in that purchase, including a lot of these companies that are now being asked to, you know, to bear some costs by the NHL and the NHLPA, and like I said, some of them have decided that it's just not worth it. So that's the long-winded explanation of why you're not going to see those logos on the gear. It opens up kind of an interesting question about the value of seeing the logos and whether it's justifiable to spend the money that they do to have those logos on display, let's say, at the NHL level. I mean, fortunately, pads, blockers, and gloves are all considered one item, so that's a one-time fee. But is it worth it to have that little logo across the forehead of the mask to pay another $100,000? Is it worth it on the sticks? That's why Matt Murray's stick is blacked out, because he also uses a Vaughn stick. Jonathan Quick and Corey Schneider both use Warrior, so that logo is there. They've obviously agreed to pay that rights fee. Or they would just donate those sticks. But that's a much lower cost to donate sticks to an event than it is to donate all that gear. I mean, you're talking everything from jocks, chest and arm, pants, sort of collar protection. It adds up. It adds up for these guys, and it was just a cost that they weren't willing to eat to have their logo on display at this event. And like I said, the other companies did, but you know, it's sort of a marketing decision. But those are becoming tougher and tougher decisions for these companies with everything that's kind of going on in the industry right now.
And Kevin, quickly, we've got about a minute left. When you go from the different manufacturers, how different are Vaughn pants to the other ones? Like, how much of a challenge would it be for all manufacturers to have the same guidelines from the NHL?
Oh, it's tough enough. And as I understand it, there's still not complete agreement on calling what is a large for one company a large for the other company. They're not the same. So if you can't even decide, you know, whether one company's large is another company's medium or extra large, I say you're a long ways from having them all look the same. I mean, you know, in a perfect world, we NASCAR it, right? The NHL makes all equipment the same and every goalie has to wear it the same. But given all the other things I mentioned about the sort of the atmosphere around the goaltending world and the finances of hockey, that doesn't leave you with much to sell at retail, much to differentiate you at retail. And unless the NHL is willing to kind of drive that bus and dictate the terms so that everything is the same, I don't see it ever happening, because there are so many differences from one to the other. You really can't just make them. It would be very hard to make them all the same, at least as they're constructed right now.
Kev, I appreciate your time as always, man. We look forward to it. Lots happening. We are less than 2 weeks away from training camp. Preseason action 2 weeks from tonight. So lots to discuss.
Good stuff. It's nice to have some hockey to watch and talk about, and I look forward to more of it.
You betcha. Kevin Woodley.